Turn now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, page 1254 in your Scofield Bible. Ephesians, chapter 5, and verses 14 through 17. I'm sorry, 13 through 17. Starting with verse 13, we'll read responsively. The 16th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And also on verse 17, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Father, you have, of course, given us another day. We're thankful for this day that you've given, a day of opportunity, a day of great blessing, a day of hearing thy word preached, singing the songs of Zion, and fellowshipping together as a Christian family. How fortunate we are. How blessed. We praise thee. We thank thee. Bless this morning's message. Bless, we pray, our coming together. And may we, of course, not do so in vain. Therefore, help us to hear and to do thy will and thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I bet you her husband is glad she's a good Christian. Can you imagine with those pipes what a nagger she could be if she were? You better pray she stays right with God. I'll believe it, sure. That's wonderful. Music has been good this morning all day. I want to read one verse to you. And I want to speak to you on the subject, God's special occasions. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. For many years, we had a little broadcast here. And I traded that broadcast to the money we spent on that to hire Jeff Owens, one of the best deals I ever made. Three of you think that, too. I used to go off the broadcast every day with the same little statement. Be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. Be good to everybody, because everybody is having a tough time. Especially do I emphasize this morning the last line, everybody is having a tough time. I heard a statement when I first started preaching. By the way, I was ordained to preach 51 years ago yesterday. We had an ordination service last night and ordained four fine men. But years ago, half a century ago, I heard somebody make this statement that really changed the direction that I've taken my ministry. And that statement was this: He who preaches to broken hearts will never want for a congregation. He who preaches to broken hearts. Somebody asked me one time, how in the world did you build that great church up in Hammond? I didn't build it. He built it. I didn't build it. Well, how did you draw all these people? I always say this. Moved to Hammond 39 years ago and a little over. Fellow came by and needed some help. We tried to help him. He told somebody else, I got help down there. He came and got help. Somebody else came and got help. So thousands were coming to get help. You're not here this morning because you want to encourage me. You're here because you want help for yourself. He who preaches to broken hearts will never want for congregation. Hey, you future, listen to me now. Listen to me. No talking. You future John the Baptist. Don't forget that. You future hellfire and damnation preachers, of which I am one. But don't forget what I said. He who preaches to broken hearts will never want for congregation. When our Lord preached the first sermon he preached in the synagogue in Nazareth, his text was, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath called me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. This morning I'm talking to several thousand people. And I promise you, if you're 21 years of age or older, you have a burden. If you're 21 years of age or a teenager, your mom, the one who has the burden, is your burden. But everybody here has a burden. I hope you'll listen to me carefully. God's special occasions. Our Heavenly Father, I have one desire when I come to this pulpit, and that is to help the people who hear me speak. That's all the desire I have. I've never in all these years prayed for eloquence of speech. I've never prayed for an oratorical delivery. I've never even prayed for a good sermon. I've just asked you to help me to be a blessing and a help to those who hear. Speak to our hearts this morning and lift our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up in the home of Coastal Mary Hiles, my mother, with just after my sister got married, just the two of us together most of the time, and for numbers of years, just the two of us together because Dad had left. Special days became very important. My sister will vouch for this. At our house, a birthday was something big. And to this day, a birthday is something big at our place. We make a big to-do about a birthday. Special occasions are important. Thanksgiving is important to me. I love Thanksgiving. I love the time to say thank you. I love a time to eat turkey and dressing. I love special days. I love Thanksgiving. I love anniversaries. Mrs. Hiles and I will celebrate our 53rd wedding anniversary next Saturday. I've already gone to the cemetery and picked out the flowers I'm going to give her. And I got them all laid aside. But I love anniversaries. I love Christmas. I didn't believe in Santa Claus till I found out that I was he. But I love Christmas. You say it's a heathen holiday. Well, that's one heathen holiday I happen to like. And I do not celebrate it as the birthday of Jesus. I simply take a day, a year, to thank God Jesus came, was born, that's all. I love it. I love graduation. I can still recall my high school graduation, my college graduation. And special days mean an awful lot to me, and special occasions. Now, special occasions mean a lot to God. The only thing is, God's special occasions and ours are not exactly alike. I want to talk to you for a while this morning on what God sees as special occasions. Paul said in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Listen carefully. Three words I want you to notice. One is the word time. The word time, you can check it if you want to, your Greek lexicon, check it. The word time here is special occasion. A special occasion. Redeeming the special occasions. Now I want you to notice the word evil. The word evil here is not, evil in the Bible is not always sin. Evil is something, okay, a doctor cuts you open to have surgery, he's hurting you. Evil in the Bible was hurting somebody. But oftentimes it speaks when God had to punish someone that God did them evil. It does not mean that God was sinning. It means that God had to punish them. So actually the word evil would be tough days. Days that hurt you. Hard times, if you please. And the word redeeming means make the most of it. All right, let's put those three together. The word time here means special occasion. The word evil means hard times, burdens, heartaches. And the word redeeming the time, take advantage of it. What does it mean? It means when hard times come to you, that's a special occasion. Take advantage of the special occasion which is the hard time. What does that mean? That means that God, when God allows hard times to come your way, and tough times, and burdens, and heartaches, to God, that's a special occasion. Not because God wants to hurt you, but God wants to help you. And sometimes surgery is necessary. Sometimes hard times are necessary. Like when I was a paratrooper, it was necessary that we suffer in order that we be in shape to be a paratrooper and so forth. And the hard times were special occasions. Now, you don't seek these hard times. Nobody goes around looking for hard times. Everybody be still now. No walking around. Nobody goes around looking for hard times. But you just stay busy for God and they'll come. You'll eventually get the attention of the devil. I said, you will eventually get the attention of the devil. And he will count you worthy of attack. So when, I said not if, but when these hard times come, will you make it a stumbling block or a stepping stone? When these hard times come, will you make it an opportunity or a calamity? When these hard times come, would you make it your end or your beginning? When these hard times come, would you make it your exit or your entrance? When these hard times come, and they will come. Oh, you said they haven't come for me yet. They're on the way. They will come. When your hard times come, would you make it your graduation or your commencement? When these hard times come, would you make it your burden or your special occasion? Ladies and gentlemen, the word there of time means special occasion or special opportunity. And hard times for you are an opportunity for you to show what you're made of. They're an opportunity for you to overcome a hurdle. They're an opportunity for you to persevere in hardship and in trouble. So God simply says, hey, happy hard times to you. Happy hard times to you. Happy hard times, dear weeper. Happy hard times to you. Happy burden to you. I got another line I just thought about, but not use it. But so God said, hey, God compared hard times to Christmas or to Thanksgiving or to anniversary or New Year's Day or to Easter or to your wedding day. God said that these hard times, these evil times, times when the burdens come, are special occasions. Now listen carefully. Without these special occasions, Fanny Crosby would be just another poet. I wonder how many blind people have not done anything for God. Fanny Crosby said this special occasion. Without these special occasions, John Bunyan would be another Baptist preacher. But John Bunyan was in the Bedford jail for 12 years, and John Bunyan said, I'll write Pilgrim's Progress, and those 12 years, instead of being a high time of heartache, they were a special occasion. In fact, every great accomplishment of every great child of God has been made during hard times, and they've made the hard times into a special occasion. Without these special occasions, Stephen would be another good deacon. Another good deacon? Who's the other one? Without these special occasions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be three unknown men. Hey, they were made famous because of a special occasion. The fiery furnace. Without these special occasions, Daniel would be just another clean-cut fellow with a good attitude and a good spirit. I'm saying you know Daniel today because he made a special occasion out of a burden. You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they made a special occasion out of a burden. You know Fanny Crosby because she made a special occasion out of a burden. Without these special occasions, Esther would be just another queen. Without these special occasions, the Apostle Paul would be just another missionary. Without these special occasions, Moses would be just another shepherd. Every one of these men, the thing that they're known for is their heartache and their burden, but they toughed it out and stood in there and said, it'll not cause me to stumble. It'll cause me to make it a foundation for progress. It'll be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. Why? Because greatness is always caused by a special occasion when burdens become stepping stones and not stumbling blocks. Without these special occasions, David Livingstone would be just another explorer. Martin Luther would be just another cleric. Without these special occasions, Helen Keller would be an anonymous shut-in. Without taking advantage of these special occasions, Jeremiah would be just another prophet. And John Rice, just another editor. And John Wesley, just another emotional Methodist preacher. And Lester Olaf, just another Baptist pastor. And Susanna Wesley, just another busy mother. And Abraham Lincoln, just another pretty good president. Can't think of another good one right now. Without these special occasions, I would be a country preacher today. Without these special occasions, this church would be just another First Baptist church of somewhere. Without these special occasions, you wouldn't have a songbook. Your songbook was written in time of heartache. You sing Amazing Grace. Read sometimes how John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. You sing, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Find out sometime in what conditions Charles Weigel wrote that song, No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus. Find out the conditions under which Fanny Crosby wrote, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Ladies and gentlemen, count it all worthy when you're counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Bible said they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I don't want you to go looking for heartaches. They'll come. I don't want you looking for burdens. They'll come. Don't look for sorrows and broken heart. They'll come. But brother, when they do come on you because God's counted you worthy or the devil's counted you worthy of attack, you just say, you're not going to trick me with this. I'll step on this and make it a special occasion. Without these special occasions, we wouldn't have any book of Revelation. There would be no Psalms. Most of your Psalms that you read were written under one of three occasions. When the Israelites were in bondage or in the wilderness, or when David was being pursued by Saul, who was trying to kill David, or when David had been betrayed by his own son Absalom, and rebellion and insurrection filled the country, and a civil war took place, most of your Psalms, you wouldn't have many Psalms without those times. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God said, redeem the time, redeem the special occasions, the evil days, the hard days, the tough days. Hey, you college-wise, are you redeeming the time? Or are you griping the time? What an opportunity you have. When your husband, some of you, becomes a pastor, he's going to say, I thank God for his blessings for me. And I remember when I was in college, how my wife nagged all the time. But I made it anyhow. What an opportunity you have. For people to say about you what they say about this little blonde on the front row of the choir today. I'm trying to say, every time a heartache comes, seize it. I've got a chance to show God I love him. I've got a chance to show people how the grace of God is sufficient. I've got a chance to persevere. I've got a hurdle I can jump. I've got a race I can run. I'm trying to say, God, you see it as a burden. God sees it as a special occasion. John Bunyan made his prison a publishing house. Moses made his desert a Bible college. Paul made his prison a music school. Daniel made the lion's den a family room. The Hebrew children made the fire furnace the theophany. Joseph made slavery an opportunity. John made exile eschatology 131. Paul made a Roman prison a prospect list. Stephen made stoning a camp meeting. Spurgeon made expulsion from the Baptist Association a launching pad. And Jesus made a sepulcher an empty apartment. What Bible stories do you teach your children? The Transfiguration? No. What Bible? Daniel and the Lion's Den. Special occasion. The three Hebrew children in the fire furnace. The crossing of the Red Sea. Jonah and the whale. The Battle of Jericho. David against Goliath. The stories you teach your kids, the special occasion stories, are simply people who made special occasion. Brother, for Daniel, Goliath was an opportunity for a Christmas holiday. And for the Hebrew children, the fire furnace was an opportunity for a good Thanksgiving service. And for Daniel, the lion's den was simply an opportunity to take his stand and show there's a living God. And this old world today looks at us and says, where is your God? Let's take it in the battle and the heartache and the sorrow and say, here he is. Look it, I'll show you how there's a living God. Let me remind you, there are no victories without battles. Will somebody tell me the name of a famous peacetime general? General Patton, wartime. General MacArthur, wartime. General Pershing, wartime. General Eisenhower, wartime. General Hyde, I'm sorry. So, the men that we count great generals are those who are wartime generals. I say without battles, there are no victories. Without, there's no perseverance without a struggle. Boy, I tell you what, I stood it out during that ice cream party. There's no perseverance without a struggle. There are no conquerors without enemies. There are no empty tombs without a Calvary. There's no resurrection without a death. There is no Olivet without a Gethsemane. There is no parted water without a Red Sea. There is no solution without a problem. There is no deliverance without a bondage. There are no heroes without challenge. There's no third heaven without the stoning at Lystra. There are no overcomers without hurdles. There are no healing without illness. There is no heaven without death. There is no salvation without a cross. There is no miracle without an obstacle. Hey, look at your obstacle and say, what a chance I have. Look at your enemy and say, what a chance I have. Look at your heartache and burden and say, what an offer. Hey, this is a special occasion. Happy heartbreak to me. Happy heartbreak to me. God said, we're supposed to look at our burdens as special occasions. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. When the tough times come and the midnights come and the battles come and the heartaches come, God said, take advantage of it. This is a special occasion. I hate to say this. I was a paratrooper in World War II. I got in toward the end of the war. It didn't take me long to clean up the mess. But I got in toward the end of the war. My outfit went to Belgium, fought in the Belgian Bulge. Others went to Iwo Jima and Okinawa. And many of the fellows that went through basic training with me and paratroop training with me were killed in the war. They chose me to remain for about 3 months. They called it cadre. They chose me from our company to stay back and help train other paratroop recruits. And during that 3 months, the war ended. Others were shouting because the war ended, and I was disappointed. I hate to say it. You know why? Because I was trained to fight. Man, I wanted P5 whole from. I wanted the blood of a German man. Not anymore. You German people, not you. I didn't want you at all. But I'm trying to say that hey, did you ever envy Randy Rogers? What an opportunity that man has. That man has an opportunity, a special occasion, to show us a fellow can be paralyzed from his neck down and keep on going. Did you know that if Marlene Evans had never had cancer, she'd still be Wendell Evans' wife? Oh, you think they got a divorce? I didn't mean that. But she'll be known as Wendell Evans' wife. Now then, he's known as Marlene Evans' husband. So broken heart, take advantage of this special occasion. This is your chance to prove God. This is your chance to overcome. This is your special occasion to prove your faith. This is your chance to stand the test. This is your chance to face an opportunity. This is your chance to be challenged. This is your chance to have a special occasion. As I look back on my life, when I think of the great times of my life, brother, that's when the battles have come and the victories come. And there are no victories unless you have a battle. Come to think of it, most of our special occasions are memorials of tough times. July 4th, special occasion. Winning the War of Independence. Memorial Day, special occasion. Remembering the soldiers who gave their lives. Lincoln's birthday. Remembering his struggle to abolish slavery. Washington's birthday. The fight for freedom. Christmas. Jesus leaving heaven to come to earth to die. Ladies and gentlemen, our special occasions where we frolic are simply memorials of burdens of somebody. Again, I say, don't run looking for burdens. You just get busy for God, and I'll promise you the devil will find out your address and phone number, and he'll give you a call. But when the call comes, and the heartache comes, and the trials come, and the burden comes, God said, these aren't heartaches or burdens. God said, these are special occasions, occasion of opportunity and challenge. So, Randy, this is not paralysis. This is a special occasion. Mrs. Rogers, you have an opportunity that not one other woman in this church has. You have an opportunity to show that you have the faith to stand beside a husband that can't make your living anymore. He can't embrace you as he once could embrace you. You have an opportunity that very few people have. An opportunity to show there's a living God. An opportunity to show that his grace is in fact sufficient. So, Mrs. Evans, is she back there? Mrs. Evans? You lost so much weight, I can't even tell which one you are anymore. That's not cancer you have. That's a special occasion. God's chosen you to show the women of this country you can keep on going. Joe Mahowski, that's not illness you have. That's a special occasion. Senior Saint, that's not old age I have. I talk to myself a lot. Senior saint, that's not old age. It's a special occasion. People say, they introduce me to speak across the country. Well, Dr. Howes is here. I hope I can preach as well when I'm 72 as I can now when I'm only 42. Hope I can preach that well. I get up and say, you can't preach that well at 42. I'm trying to say, take whatever burden you have and heartache and sorrow you have and say, well, blessed be God, to him it is a special occasion. Bus kid, that's not poverty. Happy poverty to you. It's a special occasion for you to show that a bus kid can turn out like a deacon's kid can. That poverty, the ghetto surroundings, and all the environmental discomforts that you have, it's an opportunity. That's why they call our bus kid school the City Baptist Overcomers. You notice we don't call Hammond Baptist School is that? It's City Baptist. So if you happen to be in the City Baptist School, throw out your chest. Throw back your head. Stick out your chin and say, praise God, I have a special occasion. A special opportunity. I'll show those Hammond Baptist kids that bus kids can make it just like they can. If you're a Bible club student going to public school, you'd like to go to Hammond School, Baptist schools, but you can't do it maybe, and you're a Bible club student, you just throw out your chest and you say, I'll show you. I'll make this a special occasion, and I'll announce or something. Ladies and gentlemen, this old world has been founded and has been preserved, and this country has been built not by people lying on beds of ease, but by people who struggled and fought, had heartache, opposition, and enemies, but they made them special occasions instead of burdens. And this is the difference between success and failure. Let's go back to our list. A lot of blind people who made their blindness a heartache. But there was one Fanny Crosby who made her blindness a special occasion. A lot of Baptist preachers have been told they couldn't preach on the streets. And they decided not to do it anymore, but they said to John Bunyan, you can't preach on the streets and we'll throw you in jail. And John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress on the milk bottle stoppers delivered to him in his jail. He made a special occasion. There are a lot of deacons who never preached a sermon anywhere, but this one Stephen, what you going to be? There are a lot of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who had a chance to take their stand, but didn't take their stand and never saw the fire furnace, and nobody knows their names. When Dwight Moody was ordained to preach, the ordination council met, questioned him, and voted him down. Would somebody tell me the name of one of those men? Just one. Those men are living in the anonymous halls of history, while Dwight Moody's name is emblazoned in heaven as a great servant of God. Would somebody tell me the name of one person who voted against Charles Haddon Spurgeon when he was voted out of the London Association? Would somebody tell me the name of one person who voted Dr. John Rice and Dr. J. Frank Norris out of the Tarrant County Baptist Association? This country has been built with struggle. This church has been built with struggle. Listen carefully. There are churches all over America that have faced the same battles we've faced. But there's one difference. We kept on going. I said last night to the ordaining fellows being ordained, I said, fellows, 51 years ago today, I was sitting where you're sitting. And I said, all I ask you to do is 51 years from now, still be in the saddle. That's all I ask. It may be the saddle of a great city church. It may be the saddle of a little country church, but stay in the saddle. There are many preachers that face the same heartaches that Lee Robertson faced. The difference is he stayed and they left. To him, it was a special occasion. To them, it was a battle. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian church, and he says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Time meaning special occasion. What are these special occasions? The evil days, the tough times, the heartaches, the problems. What's going to do with them? Make the most of them. Make the most of them. Read the biography our daughter wrote about me. Check the chapters you like best. The chapters you like best are those chapters where we had struggle. Problems and burdens. Ladies and gentlemen, I close in about 2 minutes now. Listen carefully. I look back today and I see that Von Canavan has walked on a crippled leg for all these years. I look all over this building and I see people. I look back and see Randy Rogers paralyzed from his, I guess, his neck down. I see Ms. Evans with cancer, and others of you have the same thing, cancer. Trina? Michelle? You have seized the opportunity. You have taken the opportunity that God has given you by taking your husband to heaven, which is not a real bad place to go, I understand. And you made a special occasion. Oh, I don't mean a happy time saying, thank God my husband's gone. No, you made it a special occasion, an opportunity to show our church and the people that know you that His grace is sufficient. So that's not widowhood. That's an opportunity. Rick Martin back there. Everybody likes to be a missionary like Rick Martin, but nobody wants to go through what he's been through. Dr. Ice used to say, everybody wants to be in the army of the Lord, but everybody wants to be in the quartermaster corps instead of the infantry. Rick Martin's had to make trip after trip to America because of a seriously ill daughter. You give up? No, sir. He said, I am going to make this burden a special occasion. So when God looks down and sees us celebrate Christmas, that's okay. Or sees us celebrate Easter, that's okay. Or sees us celebrate Thanksgiving, that's all right. Or anniversary, that's good. Or a happy birthday, that's fine. And God said, if you want to call those special occasions, that I don't mind that at all. But let me tell you the real special occasion, when the evil time comes, the hard times come, the heartaches and burdens and sorrows come, God said, if you want to succeed in life, make it a special occasion. If you want to fail, make it a burden. If you want to fail in life, whine because of your heartaches. Or if you want to succeed in life, take advantage of them. Redeeming, taking advantage of the time, special occasions. What are these special occasions? The hard days, the evil days, the tough days. You would never have heard, of course, till Maddie Hiles, my little mother, or her son. And she hadn't lost two girls by death. You would never have heard of Costa Maddie Hiles, or her son, or her daughter, Earlene Stevens, if she hadn't have had the first child who was afflicted and couldn't walk or talk, never said mom or daddy and died at seven. Second child lived to be seven also, and she died of the after effects of the measles at 7 years of age. You would never have heard of Costa Maddie Hiles if her husband had been home all the time, if she hadn't had this struggle. You never heard of Costa Maddie Hiles if she hadn't had to walk 11 miles to work in a public school lunchroom to make 50 cents a day to feed her poor boy. You never heard. In fact, you never heard of Douglas MacArthur if there hadn't been a World War II. You wouldn't have heard of Eisenhower if there hadn't been a World War II. Without a struggle, General Patton would be another name in history. Thank God, if you are facing a burden or a heartache, say hallelujah. One opportunity, I'll make it a special occasion in my life. Our Heavenly Father, take our little effort this morning and multiply it like you did the loaves and fishes of old. I didn't preach this sermon this morning to sympathize with folks having it tough. I preached it to rejoice with them. Be happy with them. To change their outlook about tears and sorrows and burdens and heartaches and problems and battles and enemies. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.